from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Should I take my Xanax early?
I don't know that you should take your Xanax before a blood pressure.
It's not just blood. This is my annual checkup. Last time I went for an annual checkup, I ended up in the hospital. Blood pressure numbers are going to be bad, and I'll have to redo the medication. I already know it's going
to
be bad.
What I'd like for you to do is not take the Xanax until after you get your blood pressure taken.
No.
I'm a professor. Why isn't anyone listening to me?
What we really need to do is track down the guy in Georgia that recommended the shoes to Dan.
Get the same shoes that Holmes recommended.
Get the old white to come here and
white.
Tell him.
Old white, what do you say?
Get Craig Calcaterra on the line, and maybe he can convince him. And if not, maybe then check with Joe Sheehan.
Okay, well, that's Joe Sheehan,
Maybe Joe Sheehan put it in his newsletter today. Maybe it's at the bottom of the newsletter.
If you can't get any of those guys, text Matthew Trueblood.
I also tried Mr. Flanders and Patty and Selma, Dr. Hibbert, Reverend Lovejoy, and that nice man who caught the snake in our basement.
Wow, and after them, out of all the people in the world, you chose me.
Have Stonecutter send it in an email.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
All good, I'm here. I didn't end up hospitalized this time. So I guess things are okay enough.
It's a pretty good afternoon for you. You found out your watch was worth $9,000, and your blood work came back fine.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're still gonna have to investigate the stuff going on with the pressure and the anxiety and all that stuff. But yeah, just as we were going to all of the blood work and the urinalysis and all the full panels and all that for a 55-year-old man came back normal. So it's one of the few things about me that's perhaps normal. At least within normal ranges on everything.
Yes, so great. So you can be anxiety-free today. There you go.
No, I can't. That's not true. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And it's a huge day, man. The Bears are hitting each other today. Now it's going to sound like a practice, not just air horn, but the sound of giant men running into giant men with bad intentions.
Yeah, the padded practice will take place today. And we will have reports.
Now it starts.
During and then after the practice. Because we'll talk with Grody, and then we'll talk with Fishy Business, and we'll have an idea of how the first one went.
We've got Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka doing the stuff that they do. Did I mention broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios?
You can never mention it enough.
We love our local Hyundai dealers, and that's why we take care of them here on our backdrop and always say nice things about them. Now, you say there's no anxiety. So you had a Rams corner who tore his ACL in practice. And then just this morning, former Bears interim kicker and current Lions kicker Michael Badgley suffered an injury so bad he's out for the year.
Yep.
Yikes, man.
The hell happened there?
All I could think of was the surfer we were talking about who got his leg bitten off by a shark.
You thinking maybe like it was a bad plant or something? And maybe
did he plant wrong and tear his ACL?
He tore his hamstring, apparently. That like completely tore it.
I'm guessing bad plant, and then everything went haywire, and it's all bad.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
I forgot to mention this in the pre-show meeting, and we should make like just a couple minutes room for it. The Dylan Cease no-hitter.
Hey.
Congratulations to him, the slider, oh, slider.
Is he going to write a no-hitter poem?
Did you see all of the kind of weird, cool stuff? Because that usually happens in a no-hitter. One, his 99th pitch of 114 was clocked at 100 miles an hour. So that's pretty good. Two, you know how in no-hitters there's always some sort of defensive play?
Well, think if that had gone the other way, yes.
Xander Bogaerts is trying to catch a ball. He's running. He tries to Willie Mays it. It hits off the heel of his glove. Jackson Merrill is coming in from left field and catches it. Or else that would have broken up the no-hitter. And you remember the last time that...
So is that a 6-7 flat pop-out?
Yes. Remember the last time that Dylan Cease had like a no-hitter?
Yeah, and he threw the slider late.
Two? At the time... At the time, the best hitter in baseball.
Luis Arraez?
Yes. And?
Base hit.
Correct. Luis Arraez is now his teammate.
Cool.
There's a lot of cool stuff. Congratulations to Dylan Cease. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, good for him. You know, you said the little no-hitter alerts were popping up. You're like, okay, well, that's cool.
Resident Padres fan, to get back to Bears, Patrick Finley, tweeted out, thanks, Sox.
Is he
go White Sox.
Like a self-appointed resident Padres fan?
Oh, he's, yeah.
Okay.
He's, yeah. It's him and Daniel Jeremiah. It's those two guys that love to torment the White Sox for deals that they have and have not made with the Padres.
Herb is one of those too, isn't he?
No, Herbie's a White Sox fan.
Well, he's a White Sox fan, but he's also a Padres fan.
Padres,
he's got dual citizenship, doesn't he?
It's his secondary team, yes.
Dual citizenship.
He was living in San Diego.
As much as I pledged to not be stupid about Bears training camp.
Yeah, you've been super stupid about Bears training camp.
I almost slipped into it yesterday when I saw that slow-mo video of the Caleb Williams moving to his left, throwing to his right.
Hey, that was awesome.
I mean, look,
it was awesome.
It doesn't mean anything, and I know it doesn't mean anything, but I would be lying if I didn't go, ooh, look at that.
Yes, I would say that it's very cool to see all of the different tricks that Caleb Williams has in his bag.
Yeah.
I would caution you and say, if you saw him do that in a real game.
Oh, there's a chance he's dead.
There's a chance that he's dead, and there's a good chance that making that the middle turns into 6 points the other
way. We're not ruining camp fun, because that wasn't over the middle, it was to the sideline, and he was threading the needle number one. But we're not ruining camp highlights.
Look,
we're not doing that.
And the catch was good too.
Lawrence, you're being Dan right now. That's what you're doing.
Someone's
got
to be.
You're ruining our fun.
Someone has to be Dan on this show if Dan's going to be a meatball.
No, I slipped into meatball mode. I was like, oh, ooh, look at that. And then I'm thinking, okay, there's a good chance that when that happens on the field, the guy that you don't see coming in from the right at 100 miles an hour when the quarterback has both feet off the ground puts the crown of his helmet on his Adam's apple.
What if he doesn't?
Exactly. Good point.
Yeah.
You're speaking in past tense saying you were a meatball about it, Dan. You rolled into work in your Bears orange, my friend.
And
I don't even know if you realized
it. I'm orange and blue.
Look at this guy. Bears.
I feel like your pants are gray.
No, they used to be blue. They're gray now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, your cargos are gray.
No, they're blue. They used to.
Did they check you for color blindness at the hospital, too?
I do need an eye exam, though.
See, that's the eye doctor. The eye doctor does
He does want me to. At 55, he's like, when's the last time you got your eyes checked? And I said, it's been a while, because I want you to do that.
You should. Why? We have good stuff here, so.
I actually have a slight color blindness. Fun fact. Very slight.
Is that how you picked Illinois for your college football 25 team instead of Western?
I don't want to make Western. It's a lot of work.
Now I have another question about what you said about video game Brett Bielema in our group chat.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because Stud said they apparently made him thinner and black.
Yeah, so I managed to win the national championship last night. No big deal. All right, so we're hoisting the trophy, you know, in the post-game celebration. And I noticed the coach holding the trophy, in theory, is supposed to be Brett Bielema, right? Well, this person hoisting the trophy is much thinner and black. So
don't tell Brett Bielema.
So instead of bigger and deafer, he's thinner and blacker. Yeah. He's Brett Bielema.
Is there something we don't know about Brett Bielema? Is he going to unzip the big fat white guy suit and come out of it?
It's MIB. He's doing Men in Black stuff.
No, I'm picturing the woman in Total Recall.
Oh.
Two weeks. great. And the thing on her head opens up. And then it blows up. That could be really pretty cool if that happened. But why did they do that? Is he not licensed, or did he license?
I don't know.
Maybe it's one of those things where they maybe just got it wrong. Maybe the tint on his computer is wrong.
Well, but then he's still got to be thicker.
But the black thing is probably not a mistake. It's probably just a setting issue on your television.
No, it's probably realistically they didn't put any work into the coaches and
change
it's all
the
kind
settings.
Of
settings. My coach is black. What are you talking about? It wasn't supposed to look like this.
There's only 8 of them.
He's supposed to be a big white guy. He's supposed to talk like this.
I mean, he doesn't really talk like that.
Why
either.
Is my coach a DEI hire? That wasn't supposed to happen. He's been overpromoted. He's not qualified. Put the real coach back there.
Someone.
Put the rightful coach back there.
No, really,
do you want the white coach or do you want the black coach?
All I'm saying is when I chose to go to Illinois, it was under the assumption that Brett Bielema was the coach and now I might have to transfer.
And that he was a white. That was the thing that really drew you down there. Is that, mm-hmm. is the coach white? Yes, uh-huh. Then I'm in.
Absolutely, there is. That's showing up there. Who was the guy at Western? Was that Bob Spoo?
No, that's Eastern.
Oh.
Bob Spoo.
He was
Bob Spoo
a
had a very storied career in Charleston.
Oh, no, he was like a legend, right?
I mean, you start looking at if you look at like Eastern Illinois football, look at their alums.
Oh, yeah, that's Sean Payton and
Shanahan.
Romo.
Yeah. Like, Garoppolo.
It's a
Ryan Pace.
I mean, he's still an executive.
Yeah, he's still fired.
He's one of the people that was like, hey, why don't we draft Michael Penix?
We're fired up about that.
No, you are.
I cannot wait. Like, can there be a Hard Knocks on that situation, please?
Well, I'm guessing.
We kind of had one in real time.
I'm guessing it's going to happen next week. Because next week is the draft episode for Hard Knocks offseason.
That's right.
Right?
Get your popcorn, baby.
So
I will.
And look, their whole thing, the whole thing the Giants were on, were like, hey, they're going to do this, and they're going to do this. And then at Atlanta, they're probably going to do this. We got to see the reaction from the Giants of them going, wait, what just happened?
They took who?
They took a quarterback?
No. Wait, didn't Atlanta pick in front?
Of the Bears.
No, I thought that, Atlanta picked in front of the Bears, but the Giants picked
six.
They were in front of Atlanta.
But they did the whole scenarios would trade down and why they would trade down and still get Rome if that's what they wanted to do. So I can't wait to see what their reaction is when Michael Penix Jr. What? They took a quarterback? That's interesting.
Do you know if the Bears on the first day of practice, do they still do inside run?
I don't know. I mean, we could ask Grody.
Because I know under Ditka.
9-on-7?
Ditka, they did the Nutcracker, which is just abusive and sadistic.
I don't think think teams are doing that stuff anymore, but I do think there's nothing wrong with doing inside run. Like, you should be doing inside run.
The energy on the first day of Bears padded practice, when they got where they're hooting and hollering on the sidelines, the defense is barking at everybody, offense is going crazy, and you've got to run in between the tackles, and it is full bore.
I'm sure that they're doing that. I would be shocked if they aren't doing that, because that's one of the things that the offensive line and the defensive line need to get ready. This is the part of training camp where teams talk about thudding. Like, guys they've got to get calloused up before they put the pads on. And now they're going to put the pads on, and that's going to feel more like football. So, like, you wear the soft shells or whatever, and you allow practice to kind of escalate over the last few days where it's not just touching up, but guys are, you give it a little bit of a bump here and there and get yourself ready for this part of it. Any team that's worth their salt should be doing inside run drills. It's helpful for your offense in short yardage situations. And Eberflus, does Eberflus seem like the type of guy to you that isn't going to do inside run drills? Because he seems very much like a coach that's going to do that.
But some of these training camps used to start with a version of whatever you want to call the Oklahoma drill, the nutcracker.
No, I don't want
Sometimes it's one on bull in the ring, and then it's one on one.
Bull in the ring sucks.
Or it's the worst.
Or you get a ball carrier involved, and it's like a two on one, and everybody, and the coaches would have everybody move in a circle closer and closer and closer. So it's like hot, and it's like a gladiator.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff that I think we figured out is unnecessary hits, but 9-on-7 is not. Like, your short yardage defense, your short yardage offense, in those situations, that has to be practiced. Because if it's not, then it's like, well, we didn't practice any of that. Why didn't you?
Because it hurts.
It does hurt.
It definitely hurts. I did not know this. The 630 says the Brett Bielema issue on your video game, there's the new version of Ozempic makes you thinner and black.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I didn't know that.
Why Bob hearted Abishola?
That's the next version of the drug that comes out. I don't know if they're telling you about that.
Is that show good? I've never actually watched it.
It's sweet.
It seems very sweet.
It's sweet. And I mean, the thing is that the actress who plays Abishola, like, she's really, like, I think they downplayed how good looking she is on the show. She's really good looking. And then they had to kind of, it's like one of those things where they came back from break and dude had lost like 150 pounds. And you have to explain that. Like, oh, he had a really good summer. Lost all this weight.
That he had to level up because of how good she looked.
Yep. Level up. But I mean, the cool thing is that he was in the Ozempic commercials.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Billy Gardell, is that right? Billy something? The guy from Mike and Molly.
Billy Gardell. He looks great.
Yeah, good for him. But yeah, if you go look at Abishola's Instagram page, you'd be like, oh, they were hiding things on Abishola on that
show. I'll
do
that research next.
Really?
Yeah, she's really good looking. Like, she's so good looking, she could be in the Dora Milaje. Like, she's that good looking.
The 217 says the new drug is Brozempic.
Bro-hio.
And then the 317 says, they're not playing chess. The downfall of football is the lack of hitting during the season. It's not a chess game.
Well, there's a difference between doing short yardage run drills, 9-on-7 stuff, and Oklahoma drill. Like, that's not necessary. Bull in the ring is not necessary, especially with the rules being what they were. Like
bull in the ring made no sense. What was the point? I remember even like in high school when we would do it.
It's keep your head on a swivel and move and under, like 100%.
But if you're sending the guy from directly behind me,
yes,
it's
not,
just sadistic.
It's right. It's not fair. And
right,
considering how rules in the NFL has changed on blindside hits, it makes almost no sense to do it.
Have you seen the version where you're lying down?
Yeah.
And you have to scramble
get
to
up,
your feet
and then yeah
get your bearing and then hit somebody.
Linebacker drill. Like one-on-one yeah, running back yeah, versus some, linebackers.
So yeah, someone has the ball and they're the running back. The other guy's yeah, the running that, back.
I saw one of those drills. This kid did it and he just jumped right over the linebacker and it was amazing. Like the linebacker flailed at him. He was already over the top of him. He lands, spins the ball, and then the whole team is just like, oh my God.
I loved
it. Because to do it in that small of an area is amazing.
Have you seen the version of it where the peewee players, they're like 8 years old or 10 years old, and they have to do it against their moms?
I love that. That makes me smile.
But they're not their dads.
The dads take it pretty easy on them.
It's the moms.
The moms are like, I have been waiting for this moment for forever.
The kids are in pads and the moms are not. But the trash talking is hysterical. It's absolutely hysterical. And believe me, I get weird watching youth tackle football because I think a lot of it is
yeah, I'm not a fan of people putting pads on before you turn like 13 or 14.
I'm not either, but I have to admit that some of that stuff was really funny. Mark Grody is taking it all in. I hope.
Pads!
It's one thing to hear that air horn. It's another thing to hear.
Hear popping pads.
That click, that polymer on polymer, that you know it when you hear it, and it smells like fresh cut grass and I don't know.
What is with camp. This guy?
They're hitting.
Who is this?
Dan the Meatball.
Dan Meatball.
That's next.
That's Gore.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mark Grody with Bernstein and Holmes.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
All right, now it's on. Now it's real. Now it matters. And now it's Mark Grody, The Score Bears reporter, with his next installment of Training Camp Live tonight, 6 to 6:30, right here on The Score Bears.
Hell yeah!
Training Camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. He is on Twitter now, mark it down, at Grody Sports, and he's with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. All right, Mark, set the scene.
You guys sound pumped up. I feel it in your voices. I will tell you that we are about 50 minutes into what is expected to be the longest practice they have had so far in training camp, and that would be about 2 hours. They are in full pads. The fans are packed here in the stands, but there has been, so far, zero hitting. No 7-on-7 yet, no 11-on-11 yet. They are all getting used to their full pads and their positional groups, and I would assume that pretty shortly, maybe even while we are doing this particular hit, we will get into the crunching of the pads, but there's been none of that as of yet. They've been kind of doing walkthrough stuff so far. Sure. In the pads. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. One of the best things is when Caleb Williams is essentially throwing against air. The defense is on the field. They are aligned, but there is no resistance whatsoever. It's just an offensive walkthrough. But any time that Caleb Williams would float a pass down the field, you know, with nobody covering, massive applause from the crowd. You may even hear it at some point in time, but right now, the quarterbacks are just going through some handoff drills, so you may not hear it in the next couple of minutes, but maybe 5 or 6 minutes down the road. So we haven't really gotten into the good stuff yet, but it's coming soon.
Do they start with a particularly energetic and physical drill traditionally?
Nope. No. Okay. Have not seen them do any of that. They, you know, the funny,
I mean, after warm-ups, like when they get the full team,
saying, Dan.
Where Eberflus will get, I'm just used to the coach getting in the middle of everybody, jumping around, calling a couple of guys in there to hype everybody up, and then they break out of there, and then people start hitting.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There hasn't been any of that. I didn't see any of that in Flus's first 2 years. Who knows? We'll see if maybe there is some sort of different standard or some sort of gathering. One thing I can tell you guys, though, about this camp in general, you know, we always talk about the Matt Eberflus fast practices, fast Fridays, get your track shoes on. This has not been a very track shoe-ish camp. So I do wonder if there's a little bit of a change in the way Matt Eberflus has been going about these camps. And again, where this is the sixth day of training camp practice with the game now less than a week away. But yeah, they're just really, you really haven't seen that all out, full force for long periods of time. Now, we've got plenty of time left in this practice, and we may start to see some of that, but it sure feels like a real ease-in day with the pads, and then maybe tomorrow they get a little bit more full force. But it's interesting to see how Matt Eberflus has laid out this training camp relative to some of the other training camps that he is. Well, the two training camps that he's manned in the past.
Groats, what are the Bears, what have they said about whether or not they think it's valuable for Caleb to play in the Hall of Fame game?
It's interesting. I kind of figured or anticipated in the back of my brain that Caleb Williams and many of the starters would not play in Canton, because that's the precedent that's been set by other NFL teams. It's been, you know, almost a decade since we've seen a number one quarterback start in that game. But Eberflus said yesterday that they spent, quote, hours discussing the plan or the potential of whether or not Caleb Williams plays. Didn't get a chance to follow up, but what I would have asked or still want to ask is there debate going on? Does Poles want him to sit and Flus wants him to play, or Shane Waldron wants him to play? And obviously Ryan Poles will have the final say. It's probably still unlikely that Caleb plays in the game, but they made it clear yesterday that it's not out of the question. Now, they could have been bluffing. Flus could have been being disingenuous. We know that coaches that feel like they're allowed to be like that in the NFL. So, you know, hopefully we'll find out pretty quickly. And Matt said yesterday, and we will not talk to Flus today, but he did say yesterday that, you know, we'll know shortly on the playing time for Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I feel like there's some value to it, even if it's here's a series you're not going to throw. Like, here's a series you're going to go in there, you're going to get under center, you're going to take it live, and you're going to hand the ball off three times just to see what it's like. You know, see what your footwork is like, what the exchange is like when you're actually under fire. I think there's value to it, but I would understand if they decided they didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, are they ready? You know, how many practices it will have been by the nine practices or so, will that have been ready with a rookie quarterback? Will he be prepared to go? I mean, we all remember Justin Fields and one of his first preseason games where not that he shouldn't have been out there. I mean, he was as ready as anybody, where he gets that blind side hit and you're like holding your breath for him to get up and into his, you know, toughness resume. He got up in a hurry. But yeah, those are the things you don't want. I mean, if they feel like in any way, shape, or form there's blind spots that Caleb Williams is still has and he's not ready to get out there, then they won't. But I like what you're saying too, Lawrence. Yeah, just to get the feel, why not take advantage of it? If you have the extra preseason game, you have a quarterback that, as I keep saying, has to be good. You've got to do things differently with this quarterback. And, you know, that's been one of the mission statements for the Bears this year, or with the signing of Caleb Williams, that they are trying to do business differently. So far, so good with the roster that they've been in. You know, we've talked about how they've beefed up media relations and all of that kind of stuff. Like, everything is running a little bit more smoothly here at Halas Hall. So let's see if that becomes a part of it as well, in terms of how they comport themselves in these preseason games, which have been just like hit or miss through the years.
I don't know if you do a full roster check before every practice, who's up, who's down, who's in pads, who's not in pads, but should we expect anybody to have a veteran's day to day, or is this, if you can walk, you can practice?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, Keenan Allen had a veteran's day the other day, and I see him out here. I guess the key guy. Yeah, I did see Mercedes Lewis out here.
That's the bellwether, right?
Yes. If Mercedes Lewis is out here, and he's practicing and he's a part of it, then that makes a lot of sense. Okay, gotcha.
Do you have to move?
Is someone moving you?
Yes, I'm being moved behind a rope right now. I am actually in a illegal territory. I was literally standing in the end zone, and they've just begun, gentlemen, doing.
You ready to put the pads on, Grody? Is that what's going on?
I am ready. I'm going to lay a lick on somebody here in just a second. Maybe these guys. Maybe Jason McKee. That could be.
Yeah. Don't do that. That will end badly for you.
he just yeah. tried to. He, He just tried to run me over.
He enjoyed inside run drill. He was a big fan of that particular drill. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If he was within shouting distance, I would have asked him about that. Okay, guys. Floated pass down. Oh, okay. All right. We have just had a deep pass to DJ Moore in the end zone, broken up by Tyreek Stevenson and DJ Moore right now.
That's it. That's the
end
season.
Zone.
And in typical Bears fan fashion, rather than applauding Tyreek Stevenson, somewhere Mike Brown is shaking his fist at the heavens.
We're Bears too.
Yes, Tyreek Stevenson probably just made a terrific play on a All Pro wide receiver, and I was like, oh.
It was a nice throw, though. I mean, Caleb put it where it needed to be, and it was just a bang-bang play, and Tyreek Stevenson was on it. I mean, look, Tyreek Stevenson had a great camp last year as well, and then and during the season he had the four picks and you know a lot of penalties, but that's a guy, man, like, you know, second-rounder who I think is going to be really good. So,
Is there a particular matchup that you're looking at? If you're saying, hey, let's see what this guy looks like in pads. He's had a good first week, but now let's see what happens when he gets hit or when he delivers a hit.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys in that regard. I mean, and I didn't see who was centering as I was being whisked. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Coleman Shelton, who we'll actually talk to today, and Ryan Bates. That's notable because they're competing for a center spot, but I'd like to see what those guys look like in pads. And then, you know, somebody like even, you know, Roma Dunze, like what does he look like when it's all out? And, you know, he's looked good so far and has opened some eyes. And as Tyreek Stevenson was saying yesterday, he's got sneaky speed. So, yeah, really all the offensive line and the defensive line, because it just seems like the reports on those guys are always so disappointing because it's always the disclaimer of, well, we can't really tell anything until they're in pads. So here we are right now as DeAndre Swift just catches a little screen from the Bajency this time, from Tyson Bajent. So DeAndre Swift very present in the passing game.
All right, season saved. You know, it was ruined on that first throw by Caleb, but then Bajent comes in. He completes a pass, and I think it's a metaphor for life.
Guess what, Lawrence? We're talking to Tyson Bajent today, too. It's backup day today out here at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, I am interested in how he views all of this and, you know, how comfortable he is from where he was last year to where he is now.
Sorry, Lawrence.
You got moved again?
Yeah, I did. It just keeps happening here. There's thousands of people here. Well, guys, I'm trying to get the best viewpoint for you guys. So sometimes it involves me taking a chance for you. But Tyson Bajent, hey, Tyson Bajent is in a great place. I mean, we all know the story. Tyson Bajent, out of nowhere, is the quarterback two for the Chicago Bears. I mean, that's pretty good. So I think life is good for him. You know, the thing that bugged me the most about Tyson Bajent, like, good guy, character, good story, what's up, Blue? But he just does not have the arm that you could trust. I remember so many times last year where when he would throw the football down the middle and just float it, and you would just pray that somebody would somebody in a Bears jersey would come down with the ball. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Grody.
I'm sorry we interrupted
Grody,
you in a party.
Who are you talking? Was that Canellis that you walked past?
Well, go
back to Canellis and give him the phone.
Wait, why
go
are back. You, like, you're walking around at a workshop
sorry.
Party
no, no,
somewhere.
No, sorry,
go,
hey,
go back to Canellis.
Like, he's in a pool right. in Vegas.
And tell him that Dan and Lawrence want to talk to him real quick.
All right, I would. I think he got away from me. And those were some Bears fans who were just scoreheads who were acknowledging Bears.
Bears.
Let me see if I can fire.
Is Jose from Logan Squire there by any chance?
Exactly.
He's here every year.
Jose from Logan Square.
You're right.
You guys really want me to find Lou?
No. Okay. If he was standing right there next to you,
no,
I'd say
no,
give him the phone.
I lost him. He whizzed right past me. But you know what happens out here, guys? They know when I'm doing a radio hit, so they all like to kind of razz me.
That's why I'm saying put them on the spot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I believe in.
Let's hear you give an opinion on who should be the Bears starting center.
That's right. While you're walking and talking and being moved and trying to watch the Bajency.
All right, there's a bigger question here too. I'm told that we asked to put none other than Brendan McCaffrey
of the NFL SiriusXM channel.
Yes.
On, and he declined because he's too busy.
Too big in the business.
Apparently, Brendan BMAC Baldy McGrindy McCaffrey was too busy to take a couple of moments to hang out on the show.
Wow.
So, right? So I want you to do is I want you to order, if you can find it, order a chicken sandwich with double cheese.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Order DC. I call that DC.
Find a chicken sandwich with double cheese and give it to him from us.
1LB, DC. Would you like some fries with that?
I don't care. Just give him, I want it dripping with cheese and hand it to him.
Because he hates cheese.
And tell him it's from us.
Oh, he does hate cheese. I do remember that.
Don't you remember when somebody dropped off, like, it was an Italian beef or something and his had cheese on it?
No, it was an intern got a cheeseburger instead of a hamburger.
And he flung it at the glass.
Yes, and he threw it against the wall.
Josh Blackwell just hit with a pass interference guarding Tyler Scott on a throw from Brett Rypien. I haven't seen BMAC out here today, so maybe he's legit. Like, I saw him, I sat next to him during the practice yesterday. I saw him in the Bears radio room with Jim Miller and Joniak, and I actually saw Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles walking into the room. So I do think BMAC is dealing with some of the upper class here of the Bears.
Yeah, maybe they're already on their way back to New Jersey. That could also be the thing why he's not available. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, whenever he does these things, he's like, he's in and out, man. He's like, I do what I got to do, and then I jump back on my plane, and I get back to my family. So, yeah. That's the way it is for BMAC.
Oh, that's
he's
right.
got BMAC that East Coast bias going on. Hey, what's up? East Coast bias happening.
Who did you just say what's up to?
That was Danny Marchino. He is one of the new public relations gentlemen out here at Hallis Hall. So what am I supposed to do?
Well,
so
I don't know.
They come up to me, they say hi.
Sorry, the mayor of Lake Forest is busy. I apologize. You're kissing babies and shaking hands.
I have to say, it is hilarious the amount of Bears fans that see me and they just go, hey. Bears.
That's right.
The Bears. Yes. It's unbelievable.
No, I love that you get to be in your element out there with the people who listen to your show, which will be on tonight, 6 to 6:30. Check this man out because he is doing work. He is the mayor of Lake Forest. He is Mark Grody. Thank you, sir.
My lieutenant, Kevin Fishbane, talking to him, will be joining you later for the post game. So so let's look forward to that as well.
Your lieutenant, that's the sports
writer of the year, fella.
Yeah, that's true. But isn't that over now? Isn't it after 1 year?
No, it's like, unless there's been another one named.
Unless there's been a coup d'etat, I believe he's still.
He is still the reigning.
Yeah, no one's usurped his throne.
It is weird that he's wearing a Writer of the Year dry fit shirt. So I mean,
I
don't know.
Really?
Like,
I love it.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah,
that was
he
is.
Weird, but we got to ask him about that.
Yeah, definitely ask him about that.
Bears.
Yep. Bears. Bye, guys.
What the hell was that?
That was one of the best Bears reports ever done.
You want energy? You want presence?
Yeah. I
Grody
love
is,
that.
Grody is Jose now. He's up there every year. Everyone knows him.
Everyone knows me. I'm here every year. I'm Mark Grody.
You're right. When we come back.
Oh, so wait, real quick.
Okay.
We were yesterday, Jason was packing for college because he's got to pack his stuff to ship. And recently my parents gave me a bunch of stuff. I told you this to take home from my room as my childhood room. They saved all of my posters. So he wants to take some of my vintage, like I have an original Jordan Sports Illustrated poster, like the very first Jordan SI poster. And he's got that. And then there was an 85 Bears. It was like a local Ford dealer 85 Bears poster.
Bears.
And I said, how many of these guys can you name? And I pointed at Richard Dent. You can kind of see the 95. And I pointed at him like, who's that?
Sack Machine.
He said, I don't know. And I just went, Sack Machine.
You're right.
He said, you're right.
You're right. When we come back, we will marry the Bears to the Olympics, both figuratively and literally. Next here on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That's one theme song on NBC that we'll be discussing today. There's another we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show, actually.
Yeah, one of America's most decorated athletes is going to be competing at the Olympics, and she is married to one of the Bears' safeties. Jonathan Owen is going to be given special dispensation to go to Paris to go watch his wife, Simone Biles, do her thing.
And obviously it's different maybe because Jonathan Owens is a complimentary player. He is a rostered veteran who is expected to make this team. I don't think he's really fighting for a position, but I think it sets a great precedent. Why not? And I hope that in the future, if somebody says, hey, my wife is giving a TED Talk, or my
wife is graduating from medical school,
my wife is accepting an award,
yeah,
something like this, that this is something where you've established a precedent, or my husband is doing that. Sure. Well, that's cool, too.
This is what Jonathan Owen had to say about the experience.
Going over there to support my wife, man, and the coaches, they're doing an amazing job, so they're going to make sure, you know, every meeting's recorded, so I'll be getting all the meetings, all the installs and everything, so I won't really miss a beat, you know, so make sure I'm working out over there, so I'll make sure I come back and...
You're going to wake up at 2 a.m. and watch the game?
Absolutely.
Did you ask her today... offer this to you without you asking?
It was just something me and my agent talked about whenever we went in and I signed with the team. That was just, you know, obviously the Olympics coming up and, you know, who my wife is. So that was just something that we, you know, but it was all respectful. We went to him and just asked, like, we really appreciate it if, you know, he can go and support his wife. So they're really cool about it, man. It's a first-class organization. Like, I just want to thank them so much for even allowing me to go over and do that, you know, so. I can't wait to, you know, be able to support her. And I know my family, my wife, she really appreciates it. So,
what is it like to watch her do things that no one else in the world can do?
It's amazing. Like, words can't even describe it. I just think about how did I get so lucky, you know, that this is my wife and I get to see her, you know, just someone that's literally at the pinnacle of their sport. And, you know, I get to call this my wife, you know, so it's amazing. Like I said, it's no words to really describe. Just blessed.
Nerve-wracking? Is it nerve-wracking?
Absolutely. It's because you care, though, you know. So anytime you get nervous is really like a good thing because you care, you know. So obviously I'm always – this is such a tough sport and she does things that no one else in the world can do. So, you know, I'm always nervous and, you know, praying for her safety and just praying for a clear head that, you know, she can go out there and just continue to do what she does.
The key there, how many sports – when you want to talk about an athlete's greatness – how many sports say where you can literally say this person can do things that other people in the world cannot do? It's one thing for Katie Ledecky to win by a lap.
Yeah, win by 20 seconds.
Right.
It feels like forever.
Yeah, to win by a lap or three quarters of a lap. That's great because you're doing the same things. You're just doing them faster. Simone Biles can do things other people cannot do.
She's amazing to watch, and I like what he said about, you know, I hope that, you know, she's got a clear mind because that was the issue last time.
With the twisties?
Yeah, that she got the twisties and it messed her up. So I actually think that's part of the reason that she's back here is that she's got something that she feels like she needs. She's the best gymnast in the world. She doesn't have to prove that. I think that she does feel like she has to prove something to herself, which I think is great for us because we get to see a virtuoso go out there and do their thing.
I saw this morning on ESPN that Simone Biles submitted an original skill for the uneven bars ahead of the Olympics. It's her sixth move named after her.
Yes, the sixth thing that she has to present the governing body to say, by the way, you've never seen this before. I'm going to do this.
Nobody else has ever done this. I invented this. So, yeah, that's
certify this so that I can do it in front of the entire world. And I know that no one else can do it.
What would be the equivalent of, like, I don't know, like a basketball player who could jump from half court?
It was George Mikan back in the day. Oh, would you look at that?
He can just place the ball in the basket.
Yeah. Would you look at that? There's an idea on how to make this game easier. Be close to the basket,
like in semi,
and then just put it in.
In semi-pro, when they do the first alley-oop, what just happened? Is that allowed?
Yup.
That's mm-hmm. foul. It's two fouls. People Great. Can't just go flying through the air like that, Jackie.
Great movie.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
It's fine. It's got all kinds of editing problems.
It's fine. We need to talk about something that Dan has been hoping for a while.
Yes.
It looks like there's some forward movement here.
Maybe.
That's why I said it looks like.
Okay.
There's some forward movement here with the Sky. We will discuss next on The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That's one theme song on NBC that we'll be discussing today. There's another we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show, actually.
Yeah, one of America's most decorated athletes is going to be competing at the Olympics, and she is married to one of the Bears' safeties. Jonathan Owen is going to be given special dispensation to go to Paris to go watch his wife, Simone Biles, do her thing.
And obviously it's different maybe because Jonathan Owens is a complimentary player. He is a rostered veteran who is expected to make this team. I don't think he's really fighting for a position, but I think it sets a great precedent. Why not? And I hope that in the future, if somebody says, hey, my wife is giving a TED Talk, or my
wife is graduating from medical school.
My wife is accepting an award.
Yeah.
Something like this, that this is something where you've established a precedent, or my husband is doing that. Sure. Well, that's cool, too.
This is what Jonathan Owen had to say about the experience.
Going over there, supporting my wife, man, and the coaches, they're doing an amazing job, so they're going to make sure, you know, every meeting's recorded, so I'll be getting all the meetings, all the installs and everything, so I won't really miss a beat, you know, so make sure I'm working out over there, so I'll make sure I come back. And
You're gonna wake up at 2 a.m. and watch the game?
Absolutely.
Did you ask her, did they offer this to you without you asking?
It was just something me and my agent talked about whenever we went in and I signed with the team. That was just, you know, obviously the Olympics coming up and, you know, who my wife is. So that was just something that we, you know, but it was all respectful. We went to him and just asked, like, we really appreciate it if, you know, he can go and support his wife. So they're really cool about it, man. It's a first-class organization. Like, I just want to thank them so much for even allowing me to go over and do that, you know, so. I can't wait to, you know, be able to support her. And I know my family, my wife, she really appreciates it. So,
what is it like to watch her do things that no one else in the world can do?
It's amazing. Like, words can't even describe it. I just think about how did I get so lucky, you know, that this is my wife and I get to see her, you know, just someone that's literally at the pinnacle of their sport. And, you know, I get to call this my wife, you know, so it's amazing. Like I said, it's no words to really describe. Just blessed.
Nerve-wracking?
Absolutely. It's because you care, though, you know. So anytime you get nervous is really like a good thing because you care, you know. So obviously I'm always – this is such a tough sport, and she does things that no one else in the world can do. So, you know, I'm always nervous and, you know, praying for her safety and just praying for a clear head that, you know, she can go out there and just continue to do what she does.
The key there, how many sports – when you want to talk about an athlete's greatness – how many sports say where you can literally say this person can do things that other people in the world cannot do? It's one thing for Katie Ledecky to win by a lap.
Yeah, win by 20 seconds.
Right.
And it feels like forever.
Yeah, to win by a lap or three quarters of a lap. That's great because you're doing the same things. You're just doing them faster. Simone Biles can do things other people cannot do.
She's amazing to watch. And I like what he said about, you know, I hope that, you know, she's got a clear mind, because that was the issue last time.
With the twisties?
Yeah, that she got the twisties and it messed her up. So I actually think that's part of the reason that she's back here, is that she's got something that she feels like she needs. She's the best gymnast in the world. She doesn't have to prove that. I think that she does feel like she has to prove something to herself, which I think is great for us, because we get to see a virtuoso go out there and do their thing.
I saw this morning on ESPN that Simone Biles submitted an original skill for the uneven bars ahead of the Olympics. It's her sixth move named after her.
Yes, the six things that she has to present the governing body to say, by the way, you've never seen this before. I'm going to do this.
Nobody else has ever done this. I invented this. So, yeah.
Certify this so that I can do it in front of the entire world, and I know that no one else can do it.
What would be the equivalent of, like, I don't know, like a basketball player who could jump from half court?
It was George Mikan back in the day. Oh, would you look at that?
He can just place the ball in the basket.
Yeah. Would you look at that? There's an idea on how to make this game easier. Be close to the basket,
like in semi,
and then just put it in.
In semi-pro, when they do the first alley-oop, what just happened? Is that allowed?
Yup.
That's mm-hmm. foul. It's two fouls. People can't just go flying through the air like that, Jackie.
Great movie.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
It's fine. It's got all kinds of editing problems.
It's fine. We need to talk about something that Dan has been hoping for a while.
Yes.
It looks like there's some forward movement here.
Maybe.
That's why I said it looks like.
Okay.
There's some forward movement here with the Sky. We will discuss next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.